Win stacks of cash by entering the 150K Crack the Code giveaway, brought to you by your local paper, now through July 14th. Look for the code on page A2. Then visit 150kgiveaway.com and submit your entry. You could win the grand prize of $100,000. Grab the paper every day. Get the code on page 2A and improve your chances to win tons of weekly cash prizes. Visit 150kgiveaway.com for details.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the United States of Oklahoma with Josh Delaney. I am Delaney, podcasting unlive yet again from the corner of Main and Robinson in downtown Oklahoma City. And to my left, the Good Witch of the Paseo.
That's me.
Nedra Jones. What's going on, young lady?
Let's see. I've been busy trying to make one of my units into an Airbnb and having trouble getting Wi-Fi, but I'll hang in there. And it's a problem because I don't, when they're talking to me about tech stuff, it sounds like gibberish, a lot of people my age. So I had to run one off this morning because he was just going to put in the receiver for TV. I said, that's not what I wanted.
We'll allow the company to go nameless, but were they trying to get one over on you?
All the time. Yeah. You know, the people that set you up for something. I already have this particular company carrying my house and things, but they will. Their job is to sell me something.
Right.
And my job is to protect myself. They were real nice. I don't mention names, but anyway. Yeah.
Now, did you chase this one off with a 2x4 like you've been known to do with
no,
certain
we
people?
Were, in fact, he was very nice, and he said, I don't understand this. And it seems like people who do the techs that do the installation and stuff, you know, they have to carry on after the salespeople have worked us over.
Right, right.
It wasn't, I wouldn't have got Wi-Fi. With what they were going to do. And that's the only thing I wanted over there. Because anyway, but that's just business, so.
Well, did they show up on time?
Yes, they were on time. And he was real nice. He said you can get that. He said, you can have a, you know, rent it off of yours. So I'm going to, anyway.
I don't like those big old windows they give us. Like, we'll be there between 8 in the morning and 5, and then you're hostage.
They're pretty good. He was there, so. I'm really glad to be here now that I found out what it was.
I know, it's kind of fun. We've had a good time. So far,
right.
I'm still employed.
Yeah, they'll let you know. But I mean, I've been in Oklahoma City since I was 3, and I'll go ahead and tell them. But y'all can't tell anybody. I'm 76. Shh. And I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
My dad had stores down here.
Whereabouts?
He worked for a man, Mr. Pollock, and there was a store at Reno and Robinson called Macy's, and then a block to the east and across the street was another store they owned called Carter's. And I used to come down here and go to the Y when I was like in the 3rd grade. And then I would walk. They closed the YWCA, but I would walk from there down to, it was downtown, and then I'd walk down there. And I don't ever remember being frightened. And that was area, down on Reno is so much different than now. It was, people thought it was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, but they had, my daddy, back then they called them dry goods stores. But they had everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just about everything.
Yeah.
And then later he moved down to Stockyards, moved the building, the business down there.
Okay.
So that was interesting.
So it sounds like you've seen some characters
from
a young age.
You want to hear a couple?
I'd like to hear, yes, all of them.
Okay, but like down there, there were people that lived in the old hotels upstairs, you know, and I got to know them. And there was one guy called Little Doc Holland, and the state was dry, okay? But you go to the backstory on that. I'd go to the 5 and Dime or something, and they had just big encounters full of aftershave. Green Lizard aftershave.
Green Lizard, huh?
Green Lizard. And he and his wife.
Was that drinkable?
They did.
Okay.
I didn't. But they were kind of, I can't do facial expressions on this, but it was really interesting. because it kind of messed him up. But he would, they called it Lizard Green. That's how far they'd gone.
Okay.
But he was a booking agent for fairs. And when he was a little boy, he was baby Doc Holland. And when he passed, my dad got all of his stuff. And he had, you know, flying acts and different things, booking for fairs and that kind of stuff. I gave it all to the Historical Society. But anyway, my dad would have customers in there, and this guy would be coming down the street, and he'd turn around and kick this dog. He'd get away from me. Get him out. There was no dog there. You know what I mean? So, and then there was another guy, real good guy, good customer. He'd come in the store, and he'd, you know, he's, what do you need? And he says, I need some work shoes, you know. And he would be driving a car. He'd shift and everything and use reverse and back up and go. There was, of course, no car, but he was a regular customer. So bazaar became pretty much commonplace for me. And then we moved to – there was a lot of winos and stuff, but they're not dangerous.
No.
They're just sitting there. And you just have, but, I mean, I was a kid, and my daddy would, you know, the bank bags where you put the money in, I'd have to run. He'd say, here, sister, put this down in your jeans and take this over to Grandma's, which is the other store. And I'd be carrying several hundred dollars and stuff. But I, there she goes,
right,
you know.
Right.
I just had a job, so.
Yeah.
Then later, we moved to Stockyards. Mm-hmm. I was 12, and this is a good story because they were getting ready to open the store, and I remember Daddy saying that later that a guy stopped him in the middle of the street down there, and he had a business down there, and I won't tell you their name. He's deceased now, but he offered my daddy thousands of dollars not to open that store. So I learned early how things work.
A little Oklahoma City back dealing.
I know about it, but
I'm sure that doesn't go on anymore, though. Here,
I have no idea.
Honorable people now.
Oh, it's a little, yeah, it's different. There was a lot of. Well, I'll just say it. There was a lot of bootlegging down there. And there was a lot of bootlegging everywhere. And gambling. You go across the street over there to the Black Angus and play pool. But if you're real good at it, you might get your thumbs broken. You know,
yeah,
some guys
yeah.
got beat. And I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm not elaborating here.
Right.
But it was, I called it disorganized crime. There was it was all cowboys. And there was a guy, and he had I won't mention his name. He's deceased now, but he had a converted. He made a trailer, and it had a chuck-a-luck basket and a roulette wheel and all that kind of stuff, and they go to different places. But I knew him, and he'd sometimes hide that at our – we lived out by Lake Overholtzer, and he'd hide that
now
at our place.
Now, what's chuck-a-luck?
I'm not – chuck-a-luck basket. I think it flips over.
Oh, okay.
And it's got big dice or something. I know Daddy used it.
Oh, okay.
We had a party one time to raise money for something, and the guy brought it all down there, and we had a New Year's Eve party to raise money. But I got to see the whole thing and how it worked, and wasn't before. But they had one of the businesses down there, very prominent, had a gambling upstairs. and there was a it was a little primitive. There was a guy, there was a lot of guys. The guy, I remember he had a wooden wagon, but he had car tires on it. But it was pulled by horses, and he'd go over into the stockyards and clean the pins, and then he'd go sell it for that kind of stuff. And they got their pins cleaned, and then he got product.
Product.
Yeah. But we had a lot, they had wrestling at the Stockyards Coliseum. And those wrestlers would come in the store and shop, and they were so quiet and meek, you'd never thought. And then they get over there, and they're, you know, crazy.
Right.
Yeah, we're doing that. And then they had a charity horse show there every year.
Okay.
And they'd bring in a big name, you know, like Roy Rogers, and he'd do that. And I got to meet him because I'd stand at the door long enough to where they let me in.
They had to.
Yeah. I wouldn't move. And but he let so many kids in anyway, you know. And then one time it was Rex Allen. You may not know who that was, but there's probably people, I hope people listening that are still alive know who that is.
Is that the Tex Ritter, Lash LaRue?
In that point. There was a movie theater down there called the Cowboy or something. They've changed it to a music venue, but we called it the Rat Races.
Okay.
But they did have Lash LaRue movies and the old Cowboys, and they showed those there. I know I'd go work at the store in the morning for my dad, and then he'd let me go over there. And
yeah. Now, this upper room that had the gambling, did they offer any other services that might have involved women of the night?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. They had a, you could get a drink.
Yeah.
The state was dry. Yeah, no problem. A lot of bootlegging. And then there was a rodeo clown. I used to barrel race. And he had a it was kind of across for west, on further west. I own the building. My brother and I own the building, the Cattlemen's Event Center. That's where my dad's Western Wear store was. But further down from that to the south and across, there was a big stockade fence that run along there, and he had pictures of him and his, you know, painted on there and that kind of stuff. But he worked all over the United States. Buck Robinson, you could look him on the internet, but he had monkeys and,
yeah,
you know, and he was, rodeos need their clowns.
They do.
The cowboys will get hurt. They're like the police. For bulls.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Popo for bulls.
But it was, and there was a place down there that, there was liquor everywhere. I know they would run hot cars. My daddy was friends, and they would run liquor. I think it was from Arkansas, like Thunder Road, the movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did, and they had hot cars and 40 Fords. And, of course, my era liked old cars that were fixed up. You know, my boyfriend at the time was a stock car racer. But anyway, they would park the cars in our back. We had 2.5 acres, and they'd hide their cars down there. And you could pull a seat up, and they'd fix it where you could put a lug of whiskey in there. You probably don't know what that is.
Nice.
It's papered together.
Okay. So it was like the Dukes of Hazzard?
Something like that. These are old Dukes.
Yeah.
But they were, you didn't, you know, nobody missed. I didn't know. It was kind of a mafia princess and didn't know it. You know what I mean? Because they were always real nice to me and my dad. And I just, if you're raised around that, you don't think anything of it.
So yeah.
I know when I moved to the Paseo, people said, "Aren't you scared?" And I said, "Nah, these guys are amateurs. I don't know what they're doing." I never was scared. Never have been scared down there. So.
So you've been in some actual speakeasies.
I have. Dad wouldn't let me go. Two things he wouldn't let me do. One is they wouldn't let kids up there anyway. I was a teenager.
Okay.
You know, from 12 up, and I was a teenager. They wouldn't let me do that. And he wouldn't let me go to the chicken fights. That was just not for a girl.
Oh, okay.
Everything else was.
Everything.
And they'd have those out there. They still had.
Daddy had his standards.
Yeah, he had a stand, right.
Yeah.
We'd go to rodeos. Of course, I could carry money around when I was, you know, 7, 8 years
right.
old. But
run some numbers.
Yeah, I could do that. Here, he would say, "Half pint of whiskey. Here, sister, put this in your jeans," because, you know, they're not going to, the state was dry.
Yeah.
So I learned to carry the jug.
Yeah, the jug.
I thought everybody drank out of a paper sack.
What, did they have some names for different types of drinks back then? I know White Lightning is kind of like the one.
I never heard that. It was always alcohol that was, you know, and I don't know. My dad always drank Old Charter.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't know people had mixed dreams. I just thought they carried a Coke and took a drink out of a paper sack and chased it, you know. So until after I married, we went out to eat or something, I didn't know anything about mixed drinks because nobody fooled with that.
when I was a kid in North Carolina, real little, maybe 5 or 6, my parents left me with a crazy old couple. I don't know how they met them. They were always very nice. But one time, the man tried to throw his wife out of a moving car. And then another time, I was sitting over there on the couch, and he came out. And that's why I asked if the aftershave was drinkable, because he would drink Aqua Velva.
Yeah.
And I thought,
that's evil stuff.
Yeah. It looked pretty, though. I was like, oh, there must be...
Great shade of blue.
Yeah. It's a Kool-Aid aftershave.
Yeah.
But I've never tried that, though.
It'll make them nuts. You know?
Yeah.
But I remember Daddy made homebrew.
Okay.
After Daddy got out of the service, I'm a war baby, he bought a peach orchard on 19th Street just off of Meridian, 2.5 acres. And they built, they had a concrete block house. And, I mean, the relatives came over and helped dig the well.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, he made homebrew because you couldn't get, you know, he did that. But, I mean, him and the guy across the street came over just to test it to see, you know, if it was ready.
Naturally.
To bottle. Yeah. And I remember going out there, and all I could see was this other guy saying, "Ned," that was my dad's name, "I believe you got a singe on it." They were so drunk. I don't know if they had anything left to bottle, you know. But
didn't make a profit on that one?
No, that house was, I don't know, he wasn't going to sell it, I know. But the house was concrete floors, and then the showers were in concrete, and then, you know, he didn't put the plumbing in. He poured the slab, and then he tunneled under it and banged through it. And my mother would have people come over, and she says, "This is my house. My husband built it. He wired it and plumbed it. If you want to flush the toilet, just turn the living room light on." And she was, you have to remember, and they, you know, they were very driven. My mother was from Montgomery, Alabama, and they were really poor. They didn't have sheetrock up the head, corrugated cardboard. You know, she said she could read Armstrong Linoleum, but not, you know, see Jane Run or anything like that. She was very smart. But, and then my dad was born out in Foss, Oklahoma. Oh, he was born in, but anyway, they were there, and they lived in soddies. And I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
They dig into the ground, and then they use the sod and use go up with it, and it's down low.
Is it called a dugout?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We call
them
soddy. Yeah.
Okay. Trying to get my lingo down out here.
So, you know, the background I have is people that have really had to work hard for what they got.
Yeah.
And they did.
And so his name was Ned, and you're Nedra. Is that how that happened there?
Yeah. I'm Nedra Lou, and he was Ned Lester.
Ned Lester?
Yeah, it was Ned Luster, really, but we didn't like that. But he was a character, and he was funny. He went out to California when he was a teenager. He got abandoned, him and his wife, 10 days before my dad was born. They had one child, four, during the Depression. And my grandmother took hold, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that was back then. And she used to live in groceries in a Model T. But she's the one that worked for Mr. Pollock and then brought Daddy in for the stores, that kind of thing. But she was quite strong, and so was her grandmother on the other side. Anyway, getting off the subject here.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
All good subject matter.
Yeah, well, it is.
You said you dated a guy who was into the cars and the racing.
Yeah, he had a 40 Ford, and I know, and he was, I barrel raced then. We were going to Guthrie one time, and he had the engine really good, but he had the hood baling wired down, and we were making a train to go to, you know, my dad, and then he and I were in that car, and in his car, of course, and that hood blew off and we were back, you know. And Daddy went and got it. He said, "Now here's some better baling wire, and I want you to fix this thing." His name was anyway, I won't say that, but he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, back then you did. I remember I would sit straddle of the gear shift, which was in the floor, and I'd shift while he drove. Did she ever grind the gears once in a while? Did he say anything? Oh, no.
Were you ever a flag girl?
No, I didn't do that. What we did was, you didn't really have the races where you go out, you know, you just see somebody on the street.
Okay.
What do you do? I mean, I did that once. I had a 69 Mach 1, and I bought it. I got it a long time ago, but anyway, it was in the early 90s. I had to sell it because I went used for real estate money. But I remember a guy came up to me, and I knew him, and he was driving a classic old Cadillac. And he says, "What'll it do?" And I said, "It'll run off and leave you." And my friend was in the car, and I just looked at her and I says, "Grab a hold of something." We were on Western, and I floored it and left him like he was standing still, you know. And that's the only time I think I've ever raced it, but it had a 351 in it. I know.
You know, we're not that far away from the police station if you want to turn yourself in for all these
things.
You know, crimes.
I don't know. I'd probably get life. Is the food good over there?
It's all right. It's okay.
In and out, but anyway, the Stockyards experience is so different now. You know, they're building over there. They've got another bank. They're going to put in stables, supposedly, down there. And, you know, the actual feedlots over there are not a part of Oklahoma City. And they're just standing vacant. That would be a great venue for country western music. They could go over there and build stuff in there and have rent. They could really do something with it. But I think one company owns all of those all over the United States. I'm not sure. closed it.
So did you, you say your dad owned the Western Wear store?
Uh-huh. Right
there. So do you still have a soft heart for Pearl Snap shirts?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
We had a bow tie that was already tied, and you just clip it on. And it's really ornate and everything, but you pull it sideways, and it says, bull ass, top and bottom. So you had to be careful who you sold it to, you know what I mean? But we had, it was probably until some of the Western stores came in, that was probably the largest one. Went strictly to Western Wear. We had boots and jeans, and back before then, we had steel-toed boots, and the packing plants were open, Armors and Wilsons and everything, so they would come in there to get their clothes, and Daddy carried that kind of stuff. So I learned early.
You, how did you survive around a wild bunch of guys back then?
Very well. Yeah. I get bored real easy now. But, no, they were just, you know, they're gone now. Leonard and Boggs and Lefty.
It does sound like
that would have been a dead giveaway, wouldn't it?
The Jones criminal enterprise.
Right. But it was, don't ask me. I could bring a lot of people in that who were in elected office and everything. Everybody went upstairs.
Okay.
Doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs.
Yeah.
Went up there
to
gamble and drink.
All been through there, huh?
Uh-huh, they all were there. And some of them owned, I know Daddy was saying, we used to go, you have to go across 10th Street, Lake Overholtzer Bridge, and then you drive, and the guy had corrugated metal, and you drive around there, they couldn't see your car, and you go to the back and get your whiskey. And Daddy said that some law guy from that county owned it. And he knew all the judges, and he knew all the...
He knows where the bodies are buried.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Since he died, I still know where some are. And it's interesting when you're... Let's go talk about the Paseo here sooner or later.
We'll get there. Yeah.
But people would come in the store and then talk to Daddy and this kind of stuff and that. And they were friends. And they were elected officials and all that kind of thing. They finally got the state went wet because the then governor and then one of the judges was drying up the bootlegging.
Mm.
He said, and they said, you know, he says, if we get everyone to take their whiskey away, they're going to vote wet. You know what I mean? And guess what?
Yeah.
Because they had to get the liquor law straightened out. I mean, they weren't, but, you know, there's people now said they made more money when it was illegal because they didn't have to pay taxes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I won't say who that is.
Well, yeah. My beer and shots been going up a little bit in price here at different places across town. And, you know, it's, man, I was at, God, where was I last week? Okay, I won't say where. It was a bar I've not been to before. And it was down, I probably shouldn't even give away the town.
Don't.
It wasn't my regular bar, but I walked in and the...
Don't make a target out of yourself.
Yeah, and the bartender asks for my ID. And I'm like, are
God
you serious?
Bless him.
Yeah. I'm like, man, you know.
I begged him to ask for my ID.
He goes, well, so he takes the ID and I just kind of look at him. And he goes, well, you know, Abel comes in here a lot. So it was either, you know, was he flattering me or telling me I look like a cop?
Yeah. He didn't. Yeah, right. You might be undercover.
I don't think he was flattering me.
You never know what they're going to do.
Yeah. But I've heard stories, some places in town, they're really strict on getting their customers out at about 1:45 in the morning because Abel has come by right at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You know, or a minute or two afterwards, and if somebody's still in the bar, they'll bust the owners.
Sure.
So loosen up out there.
Yeah, like everything else, they got to look busy.
Yeah.
I'll get it for that one.
You and I both.
Yeah. We're gonna swing together on this one.
Right.
But the atmosphere in Stockyards now, you know, I've got people calling me all the time and said, "Well, I want to take you to eat." And that building is leased to Cattlemen's for their event center. Well, I thought we'd sit around and talk about real estate, which means they want to buy my building.
Oh, okay.
And I just say no.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because they want to steal my building is what they want to do. Mine and my brother's. But it's the same thing that's happened with the real estate in the Paseo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and Cattlemen's was sold, and it was really bad. I knew Percy Wade, and I knew Hank Wade, and they're the ones that had Cattlemen's. Have you ever been in there?
I always get it mixed up, and I shouldn't, but with McClintock's.
No.
McClintock's? Okay, I've eaten at Cattlemen's.
Yeah. They have one room with a big mural on there and everything, and that's Hank.
What's the one with the long bar?
I haven't been in McClintock's.
Okay, it's McClintock's. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry out there.
But they have...
confusing y'all.
Yeah, that's okay. But they had pictures of him, and they're on the wall there. And he did win it with a... roll of the dice.
Roll of the dice.
Yeah. He just kept rolling it, but they did it somewhere else. Anyway, I can remember Gene sitting in that rocker in there. Gene was in there. And then there was a lot. It's all turned over now. You know, there's not very many people down there that I knew. I sold Robert Mitchum a cowboy hat one time.
Oh, I love Bob Mitchum.
I love him. He's pretty. Before he died, he looked horrible. Did you see? Get on the net. The last interview he did was the guy that worked for Turner and did that. And he interviewed him. He looked really bad.
Wow.
He was so pretty.
Yeah. He was in Night of the Hunter.
Yes.
I love that movie. Mm-hmm. That is such a scary movie.
Yeah. He was in a lot of things that were really good.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And he got in trouble. He got busted. He spent some time.
So you would have ran off with him at the opportunity?
Yeah. But okay. I did the usual thing that a 14, 15-year-old girl would do, which was try to shake his hand with change in it and spit when I talk. But he was real nice to me.
Well, were you flirty back then? You had your ways?
No. I was, I was a cowgirl.
Okay.
And, you hear now, cowboys are real nice.
Okay.
They are just real nice. The cowboy way and all that kind of, they had that group. The cowgirls were not, because it was a male-dominated business.
Okay.
And you'd ride by on your horse, and they'd say something smart to you. They were walking. So you'd ride back by with your horse, but you'd stick your leg out with your, and they'd get knocked down. And then... they were on foot and I was on horse. They couldn't catch us. But I remember leaving. I was talking about how the town has changed. I would leave on Saturdays and be gone all day, bareback, barefoot, ride all day, play.
Do you have a favorite horse name? What was your favorite horse's name?
Sister.
Sister?
Mm-hmm, she's Palomino. And that was my barrel racing horse. They had the charity horse show there, and they had the hunters and jumpers and all that, and then they had the scraggly cowgirls, Western Pleasure, but it didn't work because she's a competitive barrel racing horse, and a horse ran by me, and my number was called to leave the arena. So I thought I'd stick to doing what I knew, which being a bad old cowgirl. So.
Yeah, sister, huh?
Yeah, but we went all over the state, Daddy and I drove, and we had a 2-horse trailer and a 4-horse trailer. And he was really proud of me.
Yeah. And so how does a good cowgirl end up at a James Brown concert and into the Stones and
just real lucky,
Joplin
really.
And,
yeah. But I always did like back then, I was 15-something years old, covered that when I saw Buddy Holly.
Oh, what was that like?
Yeah, that was great. That was wasn't the Winter Garden show, but they had a lot of the Laverne Baker was there, Clyde McFadder. I remember like James Brown, I think, was on the ticket, but nobody knew who he was. They didn't know what. And he fell off the stage. We were in the third balcony, about six of us with a hot 6-pack of beer. Don't tell my great grandchildren that. When we were there, what's wrong with him, And then he's real short. He got over to, he was in the orchestra. So he got over there and he grabbed me, walked back up there, and then he crawled over to the mic, and then he made a hand over hand, and then he screamed, please, 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 so, which later becomes, But we didn't, but we were all fascinated.
Yeah.
And back then, somehow the black kids would wind up on one side and the white the other. But we all got in the aisles and danced.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it wasn't our problem.
Right.
It was not a problem, you know.
Had to make a show for the authorities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but we, you know, yeah. We all loved the rock and roll.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry and, you know, all of them.
I still listen to The Great 28 a lot from Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Brown Eyed Handsome Man, that's kind of my theme song.
Oh, yeah. He's in outer space, you know. When Nova sent that thing up, he's Johnny B. Goode's all over the solar system. Yeah,
all over the universe.
He's rocking out there. So
yeah,
but it was that it was a good experience, and being a cowgirl was a good experience. And you're just kind of prepared for most things. My mother, I need to put this in there if we got a minute.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would take me. She was I called her a self-made intellectual, just by rock. But she was very well read and very. That's how she compensated for it. She went to. When she's 15, she hired on as an au pair in New England, Connecticut. That's how bad she wanted out of the South.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And she got out. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine being 15 years old? You were born in 1920. So look when that was. And you go all the way on a bus to, you know. And I think a lot of my strength and perseverance and da-da-da is due to her. You know, she was going to. She had to leave, though. Seems like the old man wouldn't leave her alone.
Found a new kind of trouble.
Yeah, right. But she came back. But she was here in Oklahoma City. There was a place called the Log Cabin Theater. It's burned. But I was a little girl, and they filmed opera.
Wow. Okay.
And my mother took me to that. And of course, then I would go back to school in third, fourth grade and have to sing Pagliacci for them, whether they wanted to hear it or not.
Oh, you're going
to
hear this.
Show and tell.
Tell you what, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You're getting some opera now.
Yeah, but I would, when I was at the Y, they swimming and crafts and drama. And Max Sism, of course, you haven't been around, he was giving the drama lessons. Later, he became head of the Theater in the Round, which was. You know, show Theater in the Round was the only thing we had here. But my mother was really in close with them. We're Unitarian. She went to the Unitarian Church, and a lot of our friends were actors and stuff. So we went to that, and then we'd have parties at home, and there'd be all these Shakespearean actors. And then my daddy would have his friends, and then there's all these cowboys. And one thing they had in common was what? They drank.
Okay. Right. I could have gone five different ways with that.
I know, but I mean, that was what I was exposed to.
The same woman?
Yeah, the one I was one, right. But and some of them would leave together, which was interesting. I got my education very early. You know, people said, did you see Brokeback Mountain? I said, yes, and it was no surprise at all.
They were pioneers.
Yeah.
Pioneers.
I think there's a song, we won't get in trouble, there's a song that Willie Nelson wrote, that cowboys are frequently... involved with other cowboys. Yeah. He did that a long time ago. That's it.
Well, I was you're telling me about your mom, and I'm thinking they don't make them like they used to anymore.
No.
You know?
They don't. And she would pretty much, I went to Council Grove School, which is over there across from, it's on, of course, Council. And it was built by, part of the building was built by the WPA, real old building. And the grade school was newer. But I went there, and then when you graduated from the eighth grade, because you had three teachers in eighth grades, and you sit in the same desk for 3 years, you know, one, two, three. And so I would, when I was going to school there, mother was always trying to get Putnam City to take us into their school system, and they wouldn't do it. Well, then Western Electric went in, and all that money was there, and guess who wanted us? And mother said, too late, we're building our own high school, and that's Western Heights.
Nice.
You're too late, baby.
You're too late. I kind of asked Craig this, but in a different way. I talked about how when he grew up, asked about his experience being gay versus what younger people are going through now. Do you notice any of the differences that young women are going through now, and ever compare them to what you experienced when you were younger? Because it seems like, you know, you saw a lot of rough stuff, but had a really good time doing it.
Right, I did, and it was just part of. I just accepted it. That's the way it was. You know, You mean for young women and stuff? I think they have a lot more opportunity. You see it on television with the advertising and that kind of thing. They may not get it at home if they're married, but it seems very threatening.
Yeah.
To you know, and it's... I don't want to get into that.
Right, right.
I don't. Because the thing is, my generation, I particularly, you have to pretend like it's somebody else's idea to get what you want. It's not going to work. Or that's the way I perceive it, okay?
Right,
that's the way
right.
I perceive it. I'll leave it alone with that. Mm-hmm. But that's, people say, well, how did you get the Paseo? Because I was the only realtor down there.
Yep.
I said, nobody wanted it. I want to talk about that, can I?
Oh, yeah, let's get into it. When did you discover the wonderful place known as the Paseo?
Okay. To move into it, we had bought the building, the triplex down there, you know, that kind of thing, because I was just enamored with the area. But anyway, I wound up with it. But I just wanted to, it was a new time of life. I changed where I lived and who I lived with and where I worked. And we had a business together, the ex and I, and so everything had to change, you know. But I don't ever remember being scared or frightened. I was on a mission, and I saw this as an opportunity. I'd had a daughter that was in a really bad car wreck. But anyway.
About what year was it?
That was 83.
Okay.
And she was real bad. It was real bad. You know, they called and said she's pinned in the car and they can't get her out. She's got out. She finished high school. She first one in our family to finish college. And then she married a doctor. Be careful what you pray for, because right in there, I wound up giving birth to a doctor's wife. But she, but anyway, when something like that happens, you get real religious, whether you are or not. And you know, humbly, I said, if it's your wish, she live, I'll make this world a better place. And I thought,
go and pray to somebody, right?
Yeah, I got somebody here. Somebody come in. I'm trying to get through. But the that was a great opportunity to do something. So I had that building, okay, and that was a triplex. And the realtor told me they were having a meeting, the city was, because that was going to be the pilot project for revitalization for Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, they're going to put all this block grant money and CBDG money and everything into it. So I went to the meeting, and there were people from the city. There were people from the neighborhood, long-term people that had been there forever. There were, you know, police department, fire department, everything that would be involved, they thought, to grasp and get a hold of this. And they went around that room. We were at First Presby, which is over there in the area. And they were saying, asking each individual to stand up and say why they were there, you know. And so I stood up and said, I just bought a property in the Paseo. And everybody clapped. And I thought, dear God, what have I done? <You know? laughs> I may be in a little deep here, you know, but
is that like bless her heart?
Well, I still went back and checked it. The prices, and they didn't have any realtor working. It was only by county records and by the census.
Okay,
they were $4.11 a square foot for single family dwellings, which means, and they were half of them. There's a 57% vacancy rate. Either they were vacant and or boarded. Mm. And they had signs on the commercial street, please remove your ski mask before you come in. They actually had a sign up, you know. And they had the Poncho's Bar or something, whatever, been there forever, and some other stuff. But I saw that as a real opportunity. And then I would go to the meetings, and they'd have all these people that were there that had joined to be on this board. They called it the Oklahoma City Housing Services Redevelopment Corporation, but they called it Positively Paseo, that kind of thing.
Positively Paseo.
Yeah. Then later, because I got my real estate license.
I imagine Positively Paseo was a punchline for a long time when
they
crime
still
happened
used
down there.
When they were building houses other
the
places.
Time,
they still did. But it's really interesting. I found that, you know, that as you go along, everybody has their own agenda.
Right.
And it's really interesting because I found out how little some people really care.
Well, people's main agenda is for the city, and it's for the people, just to make things better.
Yeah, that's
no matter what they do.
Yeah. please. We need to go have a drink. But anyway, having those people there, and of course the people who lived in the neighborhood who were interested, and we surely wanted it to happen because, you know, you couldn't leave your yard tools in the yard or anything, because the people were so needy and without money, that kind of thing. So
right.
they would hone in on everything. But it was interesting, after we'd been doing it a year or so, the people of the neighborhood knew that some individuals on this thing could care less. They never come, you know. Well, I mean, they could tell by the way they were treated. I mean, I had people show up at my back door that live over north in Kluskuvi with a laundry list of stuff that I need to do. Now, what if I'd showed up at their back door?
Well,
they'd have called the police or something. But anyway, they did that. But after a while, we would had names for them and talked about them behind their back.
Well, see, that's mature.
Yeah, that was fun. Because, but we had to let it off some way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they were treating like, we just play dumb. It's like a bad marriage. We just play dumb, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. But it was interesting to see how hypocritical people were, and they didn't think they were hypocritical, you know. And they, you know, we had a picnic or something, and they stayed at the same table. Like, you know, like it's contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and poverty and,
back,
you know.
They,
yeah.
Back
it was just,
in high school, right?
They were really frightened. There was nothing to be frightened of. You know, I never was frightened. And they were gang members. Yes, but I made friends with them. I'm not stupid, you know. And they,
yeah.
you know, they said, well, they graffitied the building. I said, they don't graffiti. Those are business people. They don't graffiti. And they kept the little kids from graffitiing my building. So, you know. I got along with them fine.
Yeah, that's called networking on your part.
Yeah, where my background came in good. One time, a sheriff's office or police department went to serve a warrant on a guy, and had an outside staircase for an upstairs apartment. I would have sent two people. The guy shot him. You know, he didn't die, but he shot him. But anyway, then they called the police. Then you've got the guys in the uniforms with the yellow stuff on the back and helicopters, and they've blocked off the whole area where they can't get in or out. I'm sitting on my deck, and you hear, put your weapons down and come out with your hands up. And that went on for a couple of hours. And, you know, I had a roommate then. We were talking. He says, could you get this cleaned up? We'd really like to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, and we're upstairs away. But, I mean, you know, that was a show.
Well, it's funny in my neighborhood. Are you on that website Nextdoor?
Yeah, I've been on. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It seems like if a random person is bicycling down the street, everybody goes on Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, we're being invaded. Do you see that guy outside? He shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Or a helicopter comes, you know, flying over, and there's five posts on it, you know. It's like, oh my God, people.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and live a little bit.
Yeah, what is this? When I first moved there, I have become, it's not necessary now, but at the first, I became a ballistics expert. I could tell you, if the shots went off, I could tell you whether it was automatic fire, you know, a revolver or a shotgun. And I would call in and tell them about what 100 block it was. And they got to where they believed me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't think I was just, and they would go and check out. But what you would do when you hear gunshots. No, you hear pa-pow, that's not scary. When you hear pa-pow, pa-pow, return fire, you know, we would hit the decks,
yeah.
pull the phone off the table, call 911, and wait for the helicopter to come over. That was just a ritual.
It's like stop, drop, and roll.
It is. That's
yeah.
what you do. But, I mean, after it became commonplace, I wasn't afraid, you know. But, I mean, the first night I was there, this kid that couldn't even see over the dashboard pulled a car into the alley right next to my, where I was living, I was upstairs, and he got out and knocked out every piece of glass in the car. And he was too little to be drunk. I mean, the headlights, the taillights, everything. And I thought, I'm going to keep my car in the garage.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you haven't had to kick any midnight lovers off of your
yes,
property
I have.
Lately,
you know
have
I
you?
Have.
Well,
they
lately, have.
Have
you?
Yeah, they,
oh, no.
I have a deck. I have a deck, and it's covered and it's surrounded. But anyway, I've gone down there. And under that, in there, what happens is it closes and the younger kids aren't ready to go home. They're still partying. So they used it for an after-hours club. I've got it fenced now. They can't get in. And they were in under the deck making out. And I'm not talking necking. They were making out. And I said, hey, what are y'all doing? And he said, lady, mind your own business. I said, this is my business. I pay taxes. I mow the yard. If anybody's going to get laid here, it's me. Now get the hell out of here. And I find that if you go crazy on them, they're scared.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She might have a gun. She might have this. She might have, I did, but it was upstairs, you know. Yeah. But they, you know, they didn't say a word. They got out. They left. You know what I mean? Not messing with her. But they, you still have, I had people pulling in the yard. I know the first festival I was down there, this guy was taking a whiz. Can I say that?
You can say whiz. We just got past laid, so
okay.
I think
okay,
we're
I'm
good.
Sorry.
I just wanted to say laid again.
SWAT team going to rush in here and get me. But anyway, they when I had a, I just lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
Whiz.
He was in the, and I had some cedar trees there, and he was in there. And there was little kids and people. I'd let them put a blanket out, and they had picnic. And this guy's taking a whiz in my trees. You know, I said, what are you doing? And he turned around. I said, turn around, you know. And I said, put your ring. There's kids in here. And then I said, what are you doing? I know the lady that owns this property. I said, don't mess with her. She is a real witch. You
yeah.
know, that's oh,
yeah.
me.
Yes.
And so anyway, he got in the car. He pulled his car in the yard. And I told him to get it out of there. He's too drunk to drive. And then he came down the street. And I said I saw a cop. I said, he just left. He's drunk and he's driving. He shouldn't be. And they stopped him at the corner and they towed his car. And it was a very prominent individual's CPA. And his little girlfriend that he was down there just drunk with, you know, come up and she come to about my chin, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, she's, lady, I'm going to kick your, you know, going like that. And I said, well, apparently you haven't seen me walk away. You may have your life's work ahead of you. You know? But the whole time she's threatening me, she's backing up. You know,
oh, one of those. Yeah.
Yeah,
hold me back. Hold me back.
Most people are like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've had my butt whipped over the phone several times.
you got your phone whooping.
I got my phone whooping. Yeah.
You had an email whooping and a text whooping.
But you know, that's like
a Twitter whooping.
People will try to threaten me. And I said, I had a guy call me one night and said, my kid's been in a car wreck. She's pinned in the car and they can't get her out. Now, what are you going to do to scare me?
Right. Right.
I said, there ain't anything, you know.
Nothing.
There's nothing left, you know. So
yeah, that's a pretty scary one.
Those kids. But the Paseo now, like, there's a house over on, I think I took you by that, and it's new and what I've heard, my son-in-law talked, he spent $600,000 on that house.
Wow.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell an architect did it.
Yeah.
And lives there. You know what I mean? But the way he did it. But, I mean, you know, from what I was telling you the prices were to now, it's unbelievable, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, there's something to be saying for hanging in there. There's something to be said for being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people that stayed in there. And then, you know, usually when you sell it, when I would show a house, it would take me about 15, 20 minutes. When I showed one in the Paseo, it took half a day.
Well,
because you took them and show them everything that's going on, everything
yeah.
that's happened, and everything that will happen. And I live here, and I'm an old lady, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, that's a selling point, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're living there, it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of, I have to thank the people that were brave enough to come in and do that, because it wouldn't have been this way if there hadn't been those individuals, or the group that I was telling you about. It took it all. If it was starting over again, I'd give them some notes, because they need to inform the other agencies of the city, because I've had police tell me to move. I was going to get killed.
Wow.
I've had one guy I called. We wrote our own zoning when they started this, which is good. And what that does is it protects the real estate, and it protects it when people come in there and do their sweat equity. And that happens, or they have it done, but they're both protected, you know. But I had people that would, you know, come and say, you know, but wouldn't get out of the car because they were frightened. Because they'd heard so much.
In broad daylight, too, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I've had a cross sale. I didn't do many cross sales, but when they did, one lady was at my house, and we were giving her the contract and everything, and she said, Her purse started ringing, and she picked it up, and she says, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just fine. You know, like, you don't go over there.
Yeah.
Don't go drive over there. So
and
it took a long time to shake that.
Yeah.
And the people that live there now have no idea.
No idea. No, no. Well, it. How much did you buy in for your first house over there?
Where I'm living now?
Yeah.
20. No, that was 11.
11,
and
yeah.
then the triplex was 20.
Yeah. And the houses over there are going now for what these days?
I was offered by a tenant of $250,000 for one, but I wouldn't sell it. I mean, it's taking care of me now. I took care of it. It's taking care of me.
Well, hell, you got that antique medical examination table in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was a doctor. I sold his clinic.
Yeah.
And he was going to leave, and I asked him if he wanted to sell it. He said, yeah. The hardest part was that thing's heavy. It's getting it moved, you know.
You ever hop in it just for fun?
No. It's got a glass top on it now. It's cracked. You
know? I tell you what, we get us a bottle of bourbon one night. We'll go over and hang out by the stirrups.
Yeah, right. You could do that. That's, I guess the cowboy interest comes in there, doesn't it? So that kind of thing. But the area that I'm in, you know, I was going to build another house. I've got a lot down there. And I wanted to build a shotgun, if you know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because of health reasons and different things. Like, it's more remodeling or just taking care of things is tough enough, but building a house. My daughter and son-in-law are going to do that now. And, yeah, so.
Are you happy with where the Paseo's at? Is that mixed at all with some nostalgia for what you saw? Even before you moved in, when you were hanging out with, you know, some of the hippie crowd and that kind of
that
thing.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, yeah, it just evolves. I mean, it's changing. And in order to, it had to change in order for it to stay, you know. That's like, that area was in historic preservation. They changed it to urban design review. That's because one individual didn't want to do something. And he got his way because he's influential. So, but I don't think that was a good idea, but I've used it. And then the same thing with, they did the zone, they wrote their own zoning when they started this. You know what I mean? And the story I need to tell you, I called downtown because this guy was boxing in a porch so he'd have another bedroom for Section 8.
Ah, seems fair.
No, it wasn't. And so I called downtown and I got hold of this guy. We had the zoning and everything, but it was not enforceable. There wasn't a commission to deal with it. And then when you called just the city, you know, I was telling him about it and everything, and he said, well, lady, you're not Heritage Hills. Wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
I said, no, we're not. But for the next 20 minutes, you are going to hear what we are.
Yeah.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You know? And when I spoke at the Southern
Don't
Governor,
make me ride over there, sister.
Yeah, right. I will. But that's I've talked a lot. You know, you can tell I've gone to different organizations. I talked at the Southern Governor's Conference. I tell that story. So, you know, getting things changed, you know, I've had. When you get the word out that it's not easy to go down there and do what you want and misbehave and steal things and mug people and all that, you know, because I had somebody grab my purse. Me and a friend had just eaten, and he grabbed my purse, and I grabbed my purse, and he just went up with a strap. He was about 10 feet away. And he was just standing there with this look on his face, you know. But I had 30 pounds on him. That purse wasn't going anywhere. You know,
tell you what, boy.
Yeah, and my friend was there, and he looked at me, and I said, shoot him. Neither one of us had a gun, but the guy didn't know. He took off running, and I was chasing him. He was chasing him. I said, shoot him. We can get away with it. But then I went to I went into the restaurant there, and they were when I got there, they were holding the phone out. They could hear me all the way. And I called the police, and I said, I'm going to be outside, and I'll take you where they went. And we went over there to the house, but the cops went by me twice. I called them the Keystone Cops. I mean, the hair and everything.
Yeah. Oklahoma City's finest.
I glow in the dark. They could have found me. You know what I mean? And we're English. And we got over to the house, and Chris, the shoulder was sore and everything, and there was my neighbor's had followed me. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to follow her. And anyway, they put their lights on this building he went into. And there was a lady out there. There's no light, porch light, and she's out there sweeping. So she was spotting for him, you know. And the police showed up. I showed up with the police finally, and they said they couldn't go in. And then I understand that. You know what I mean? They didn't see it happen, so they couldn't go in. But what upset me was they said, did you want to file a report? And I said, do I have to lose a limb? What do I have to do? And I did. And then the next day, I had a detective or somebody in those crimes from the police department call. He said, are you nervous? He says, did somebody steal your purse yesterday? I said, they did not. They got a strap. But
they got a they're about to get another strap.
Yeah. And he said, well, this was a full-grown man. I said, well, I'm a full-grown woman. You know? And he thought it was funny. I said, I know that y'all can't do anything. I said, but that back door is boarded up, and there's two stories there, and they have to have an opening. I know this. And I said, y'all can send the fire department over there to do something about that. And I would go and sit in front of the building and read a book in my car just to aggravate them.
Yeah.
And then I've had one time the restaurant, the guy was, an elderly man was kind of jogging, and this guy was giving him a bad time trying to get money from him. And the restaurant emptied. The men went out there. I didn't want to watch. But I heard him say, you can't do that down here anymore. And I just knew a blow is going in. That stopped people from trying to panhandle on the street. And, you know, we had festival, and they said Paseo kids, you know, and these kids would come, and they're supposed to take food to the artists. They were going and taking orders for hamburgers and then taking them back and charging them. We had a grill to feed them, you know what I mean?
Right.
Enterprising little devils, weren't
they?
Yeah,
smart. They are smart.
Oh, they were. I mean, they grew up there, and they knew how to function, but they didn't give the money because the parents were right behind them grabbing it.
Yeah.
They used to have DOC workers help with the festival. That's what you want to do, is go into an area with a lot of girls walking the street. And we did. We had active businesswomen down there.
Yeah, businesswomen.
Yeah. They
entrepreneurs.
That was interesting. The best cover I saw was they had clear plastic bags that had tin cans in them. Like they were picking up cans. That's pretty unique.
That's pretty good.
I told them to get their can out of my neighborhood.
Get
all your cans out of my neighborhood.
M'lady.
Yeah, they left. We put cameras up.
Yeah.
You know, when they were walking down Lee, they'd come from 23rd down there, and they'd look in the camera, and you could see their face.
Good entertainment.
Just lay back
and watch that.
It's just park. You know, my son-in-law and another guy, they had a bicycle patrol. Yeah, and they had them shirts made. They were navy blue, and then they had yellow on the back, PNA, which is Paseo Neighborhood Association. But the people that lived there thought it was the bicycle cops, because they thought it was, because we put the lights on it every night.
Yeah.
And they'd go by, and somebody would say, God bless you, officer.
You've racked up quite the criminal record. Your portfolio is varied.
Yeah, it is. Right, yeah. I've never been in trouble. I've never been arrested.
I know. That's how the best ones do it.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Never
get
caught.
From them. But it was, you know, it's right now, it's just downright boring down there.
Wait a minute. There's a lot of good concepts down there.
Yeah, there's so much. And then, of course, I told you I took drama. I'm a professionally trained drama queen. I can do that. Any of that stuff. But it's. I know one lady stopped by and she says, "This is like Mayberry." And I said, "We have a little more flair than Mayberry."
A little more flair. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really nice.
Yeah. You know,
this time of life for me, I'm not.
Yeah, boring's good these days, right?
Yeah, it's really good. I can't run anymore. I've got artificial knees and everything.
Yeah.
I spent most of my life shoring my body up so I can grow gracefully.
Yeah. How's the old heart doing?
Good.
Okay.
Good. It's doing real good. I had to go on world tour before it was over with. But
right.
You just got to hang in there and do it. So I was tickled because I got to eat green stuff again. No, I couldn't have any green stuff for 8.5 years because it's a coagulant.
Well.
I went to Sprouts and made the biggest fool out of myself. I was like, give me some okra, and I want some broccoli, and I want some Brussels sprouts, and I want it now. Cook it.
Cook it now.
But the experience down there, and then the friends I had, and I had friends that didn't live there that helped me and that kind of thing, is you know, tell my kids, this is the best time of my life.
Yeah.
I got to be Nedra.
You got to be Nedra. Yeah.
I wasn't somebody's wife or somebody's mother. Mm-hmm. And because I had a business. We had a business. And I was recognized by women in the window covering industry, and I was on the cover of the magazine and all that kind of stuff, you know. But that was with somebody else. But this is, if I made a mistake, it was my mistake. If I was successful, it was mine. So it gave me an opportunity to be myself, you know. And I really just love that, you know.
Well, you are.
And it worked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd gotten involved with public service when I woke up one morning and there were little green trucks all over the dam. We lived in Newcastle and we had water down there. And anyway, Jimmy Carter had called for an investigation, check all the earthen dams because one had broken. It's Teton Bam up there. But it wasn't engineered right to start with. But anyway, people were killed. So, and I had to wind up. Anyway, I kept going. I said, why is that a high hazard dam and why do we have to do this and that? Da, 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 da. Because people built on the water floodplain downstream from you. I said, well, that's not my fault. We have to give responsibility somewhere, you know. So I would go down to Chickasha, to the county commissioners, and I complain about it. Why don't we have flood control? Why don't we have flood insurance? Because we don't have flood control. Why don't we have flood control? Because we don't have a floodplain management board. You're looking at the past chairman of the floodplain management board for all the unincorporated areas in Grady County. And that's when I learned if you go and complain about something long enough, you'll get a job. I went to...
Strong-armed you into a floodwater control career?
Yeah, I did. And we went to Albuquerque. And they were... And there was all these men, and I was maybe two women and all these hundreds of men. It was a conference, you know, and they were talking. It was really interesting because the rural men, they elected me chairman. It was all farmers and dairy people and that kind of stuff, but they elected me. But women in the country are more equal. You know, they're as important, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it was great, but I know. He asked me, well, how did you wind up with this? I said, well, I'm an heiress. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, my dad died and he left me a high hazard dam and an alcoholic stepmother. And I've never had a chance to thank him for it. And of course, I had all several hundred men laughing. I figured if you get them on the first few minutes, you got them, right? So, and wound up spending $20,000 on that dam. Jeez. And put a new spill. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but what they do is they put a spillway, which is off of the dam, but it's lower than the dam, and the water will go around when you have like these floods here. I'm glad I'm not down there.
Right.
But yeah, it's a mess. But anyway, then I put a 36-inch pipe in it because they had a kid that another two kids were swimming together, and the water had come up over the spill pipe and sucked him in. So I wanted a big one. And then I go down there one time. I'll be darned if a guy that didn't live down there took a stump and put it in there because he wanted to raise the level of the lake. Everybody is a walking engineer. I got that line from the Water Resources Board, Oklahoma City. But I mean, we had one time, it's a quick story, we had, before we got it fixed, a flood came and there was some, it was starting to breach and go through some animal things that were in there because they go in there and make their bin. And I called a guy that put in our lateral system. He had an overhead loader. It was Laverne Stanley. I think he's gone now, but he's my hero. He came over there and packed that dam, and it was lightning, and he looked like Red Adair. You know what I mean? And it was really good, you know, that kind of thing. And then we had a system put in place. You have to get a building permit now, regardless of whether you're in an incorporated city or not. And I'm not chairman anymore.
Chairman.
Yeah.
You ever just thought about just, you know, playing bingo, just kind of going away quietly?
No. I can't play cards either. I can't remember the suits.
Rummy?
No, I don't know how to do any. Is that a tray or what? What do you call that little thing? I don't know the suits. I know hearts. I got that. But I don't do that. I'm dyslexic. So I don't know whether it's power of that kind of thing. This is, what's your background? I said, I have a high school diploma, a real estate license, and I'm dyslexic. But that made me learn to talk. I was doing stand-up by the time I was 10. You
right.
know, just
right,
I could charm the teachers. In high school, it was great.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But you know, when you're used to a certain way of life, I mean, I'm slowed down now because of my age. I can't.
Yeah.
They put a governor on me here. Somebody did. Behave, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I can still work hard, but I can only do it about 4 hours.
Yeah, bursts.
Yeah, then I'm in the recliner with the dog.
Well, hey, if anybody wants to come visit you down at the Paseo, what are some of your hangout spots down there?
Down there? Oh.
Have them buy you a drink.
There's a place called the Scratch. Okay. It's right next to Buttermilk's. And they have, I think it's expensive, they have custom drinks. It says the food's really good. And Buttermilk's is there, but they don't serve. And then there's the taco place that's in that shopping center, too, the same one. And then they're going to open up on, we have two new shopping centers in the Paseo, but they're little. And they're designed well. And on Walker there, it's going to be kind of an upscale Mexican restaurant. It's going to be called Frida's, after the Mexican artist, Frida. I can't pronounce it, yeah. That kind of thing. So we've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got 7 restaurants down there. Wow. And we've got...
Well, you got a place to eat nights a week.
We've got 3 dispensaries.
Those things, man.
3 dispensaries and one on the way.
Like 7-Elevens around here.
Yeah, I know. They're going to... I don't know. See who's going to blow out there.
Now... fine, upstanding citizen like yourself, you would never go visit a dispensary, would you?
Yes. I'm legal. They even, what do you mean, lie about?
I mean, really, you've gone from growing up where the state was dry.
I know, this is weird. and, you know, when they got dry, but I didn't drink, but they, you know, when you go to do this and everything, is you go to the doctor and everything, He did send it. Let me explain, because I have a lot of health problems, different things, and I don't take any medication whatsoever, other than COVID. But that's minute.
God's medicine.
We talked about that is, and it's interesting the people you see that are going through the doctor thing to get, and you know that they are end of life, and you know that some of the kids are autistic or different things you could tell, and then there's a really little. One tall boy was there, and he was kind of distant, and the mother was with him, and she was kind of embarrassed, and she shouldn't be, you know. And then I ran into her, you go to another place, and they send your stuff into the state, you know. We went over there, and she came in, and then she warmed up, okay. Yeah, because they were asking me if I wanted to know about how the drug works, and I says, Doctor, I was arrested for protesting. Get a hold of yourself, you know. And he said, I had a lady in here last week, said she was...
I wish I could have been there.
She said, I was the first one to burn my bra. You can't tell me anything.
Burn that bra? Yeah. Roll that up and smoke that, too?
Yeah, yeah. This is just interesting. They showed a movie downtown. Are we out of time yet?
No, we're never out of time.
One short one. They showed Woodstock here downtown. They've already torn that theater down. It was the state there. But they had a huge sound system, and you go downtown to see it, you know what I mean? So you could see the Woodstock, and it was worth it, you know. And you go at midnight. And so my ex is like, you're me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at the door, and he goes, oh my God, the lady's got on a see-through blouse and nothing else under it. And he put his head down, like, and he put his hand, he says, oh my God. And then he said, oh, no, she's going to get popcorn. That poor son of a gun is on the counter. And he looked, oh, popcorn.
Popcorn.
Do you want butter on those? The popcorn, I mean. You know?
jumbo size.
Right. It was just, and it was good. You know, that was at the beginning. That was, yeah, but I remember I was quite taken by that. And then I saw the movie Woodstock, and that changed your mind about a lot of things. Because there's millions, people just a sea of people saying, hell no, I won't go. You know, there's got to be a reason for that, you know. So it was interesting. It was very interesting. And then we protested the Black Fox nuclear power plant, and they didn't build it, but that was because I think we played a part in that. But the other thing was that Three Mile Island had just happened, and then the movie China Syndrome came out, so it kind of reinforced it. Because we went for the hearings in Tulsa for the Nuclear Regulatory Board, and that's the first time I ever saw a bureaucrat.
Which is scarier, a bureaucrat or a Paseo panhandler back in the day?
bureaucrat because they do more damage.
They do.
They've got a bigger expense account, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it was all he could do, stay awake. I mean, they just sent him down here. They thought they'd, but it didn't. But we walked in and then, you know, filed through and it was nonviolent, of course, and then walked back. And then the guys from Public Service Company of Oklahoma gave me a ride in the pickup. And I said, I'm through. I ain't doing this anymore. I will send him a check. I'm too old. And my kids were saying, I took the kids, of course. Do they have showers in jail, Mom? Of course they didn't. They dropped charges on everybody but Channel 9. I think they had a little vindicta against Channel 9.
Yeah, okay. Well,
so,
you know.
Yeah.
We love the TV people around here.
Huh?
We love the TV people around here.
Uh-huh. Some of them. I know. This. You...
Our colleagues and our peers.
Yeah, right. It's just you got to learn to weave and bob, is
right.
what I think.
Right,
know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Keep on weaving and bobbing out there, Nedra.
I will. Stay right. Low and move in a zigzag pattern.
Exactly. Good having you in here, lady.
It's good to be here.
All right. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the United States of Oklahoma, please subscribe on your favorite podcast publishing platform, Triple P, man, and share with your friends. And if you want to keep up with the latest news in Oklahoma, pick up a digital subscription at oklahoman.com, where you will get unparalleled coverage of Sooner State politics, sports, breaking news, business, crime and courts, food, music, religion, and a whole lot more, including some of the best photojournalism around. All for $9.99 a month.